Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers and fishers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Everyone deserves to go home from work safe and well. That, though, just doesn't mean with all limbs intact. It also includes mentally well. And the responsibilities for this are far-reaching. Indeed, if a farmer brought in contract labour onto their property, they have a legal obligation to ensure no one is the victim of bullying or discrimination. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and in this Campfire podcast, we're delving into bullying in farm workplaces and how to create a positive workplace culture that avoids that. Joining me first in the studio is Michael Plowright, whose business, Working Well Together, focuses specifically on dealing with bullying and creating positive workplace cultures. Michael, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me here, Drew. Great to be here.
Michael, I get the impression that despite bullying being much discussed and indeed legislated for, it's sadly an issue that's not going away.
Absolutely. Look, and we're not seeing any major decrease in bullying numbers. And when we look at talk about bullying, you know, I'll often talk about not only bullying in itself, which may be the case, I also talk about bullying claims, because what people tend to not take into account is that addressing bullying claims can prevent escalation to bullying in itself. That can solve businesses and companies a whole lot of headaches if they actually listen and think about what's the strategy we need to put in place to ensure this doesn't go any further.
I want to talk about that strategy a little bit further along, but I'm interested by the point you made there that you're not seeing any decline in bullying. Is that because people are more aware of it, or is because there's legislation in place, or is it just because, you know, we just need to get our acts together?
Yeah, look, it's probably a little bit of everything that you've just said there in terms of we've certainly got a culture that is more aware of negative behaviours. And so people are ready to jump onto those more than perhaps we used to. In some ways, I guess it's mirrored the Me Too movement in relation to these issues have been around for such a long period of time. And we're now seeing more and more stories being reported and more people willing to stand up. So there's this real overtness about the behaviour. And I think social media has had a great impact on that, because individuals are sharing stories on the internet and it's creating that awareness. So now we've got this culture where people are saying, well, it's not okay to put up with this behaviour. And we also know when we look at bullying, the research has now been what started in the 1990s. So we're looking at 30 years worth of research. We know from that research that bullying has a very significant impact on a person's health and well-being. And when we look at that, we're not only talking about impacts like distress and anxiety at a low level, we're talking about impacts at a high level, including potential trauma-like symptoms. We're talking about suicide ideation in terms of people who experience bullying. And you look at some of the research, and one of the key pieces of research that came out of Scandinavia, which is where a lot of this research comes from, indicates that people who've been bullied are twice as likely to be considering suicide versus a person who hasn't been bullied in the workplace. So we've got those sorts of things coming through, you know, data, which there was a meta study of 27 other reports done, I think it was a couple of years ago now, which indicates that people who are bullied are more likely to have trauma-like symptoms as well. So 57% was actually the data that came out of this potential research. So We know that bullying has major impacts on individuals and their functioning and the quality of life and their ability to just live life. And I think people are now more aware of that. And I think probably, if anything, COVID has probably allowed people to talk about and explore their mental health as a concept a lot more than we've had permission to do in any time in the past.
Just to take one step back then, you were saying people are more aware of it, but how do you define bullying to clients so that they know, oh, that behaviour is bullying?
Look, and I, you know, come back to where it's defined in law, and Australia is still one of the few countries around the world that has bullying defined in law, and there are three characteristics that bullying has. There needs to be unreasonable behaviour, you know, and that unreasonable behaviour could be anything from shouting and abusing somebody, swearing at them, calling them demeaning names, through to some of those workplace process issues. So excluding people from meetings or not giving them the information they need to do their job. So when they put the information forward to others, they look stupid. So all those things that lead up to humiliation. The next thing that makes something bullying is that it's repeated behaviour over a period of time. So bullying is not one-off events. You know, everyone has a bad day. Everyone can, you know, be grumpy. They get out of bed the wrong side on one day. But bullying is actually a repeated pattern of behaviour, usually over a period of months to sometimes years. It's just crazy sometimes when you hear that a person has been bullied in one workplace for 3, 4, 5, or 6 years or longer, which just staggers me in so many ways still working in this field as I do. So it's unreasonable behaviour that's repeated, but also creates a risk to health and safety. The thing about that is every bullying episode potentially creates a risk to health and safety, because it's the very fact that it's unreasonable behaviour that's repeated over a long period of time that leads to the risk. So one way to actually ensure that you're intervening and preventing bullying from escalating is intervening in it early. So that's the three characteristics: unreasonable behaviour that's repeated over a period of time that creates a risk to health and safety. And that's what we're looking for when it comes to bullying.
Michael, is all bullying the same? I ask because I've heard the term indirect bullying. What's that?
Indirect is probably a term we hear less often these days. We probably hear more of it in relation to covert behaviours. So, for example, that might be, you know, if I'm the bully, going off and talking to my colleagues and actually undermining an individual behind their back. So that's the sort of stuff that's covert. The other side of things is your overt bullying, which is, you know, somebody who will actually, in a meeting, you know, might slam their fist down on the table or just throw that pen down in a really aggressive way, but you're not quite sure sometimes still, even then, that it's actually on purpose or actually not. It might be actually abusing somebody in an actual meeting is overt. In terms of public humiliation, calling people out for their mistakes in a meeting in front of everyone is overt bullying. So covert is a little bit behind the scenes and a bit secretive, if I can say it that way, whereas overt is right in front of your face and everyone can see it.
It becomes a lot to take on, but at the end of the day, somebody's suffering, and that's probably one of the key things to take out of that. So what are some of the warning signs that bullying might be occurring in your workplace?
One of the things we often see in workplaces where there's a bully is, because everyone usually knows what's going on, it's just that they can be afraid to actually do anything. Might be things like your staff member or one department or one area of your workplace or your workplace completely has people leaving. They're choosing to find another job. If you find that you have high turnover rates of staff, that can certainly be an indicator of bullying. if you have high levels of sick leave because they don't want to actually confront or deal with the person who's using the bullying behaviour. The other thing is that there might be performance-based issues within the business or within the team. Because what happens is that when there's bullying and everyone can see it, people are busy trying to protect themselves. So other staff who aren't being bullied are busy trying to protect themselves by keeping their heads down and not becoming the target of the person using bullying behaviours. On an individual level, what you might see in a person is, on top of maybe calling in sick more often and being absent from work, there might be things like teary behaviour. When there is meetings, you might see personality changes where in the past, maybe they would provide their opinions and actually be an active part of meetings. They might be showing themselves to be withdrawn. So there's different signs at an individual level. From a business or an organisational level, if you're wanting to understand whether there's bullying in the workplace, you can do things like culture surveys, which provide anonymous feedback to be able to find out that you've got a problem and then address that problem. So it depends on which level that you're looking at it, really.
Michael, you mentioned a cultural survey there, and really at the end of the day, I suppose it's about having a positive work culture. So how do you help businesses avoid bullying occur in their workplaces?
Part of it is around ensuring that your employees know what bullying is and isn't. Because at the end of the day, if people can't recognise the behaviour, then they can't call it out as bullying. So there's the education side of things is certainly one. And it's important that education is not only provided to your general employees, it's about actually teaching your management and your leadership team what bullying is so they can call it out when they see the behaviour. So that's one way to do it. I mentioned before about the culture surveys is certainly one, because then that can help you develop a strategy to prevent it from occurring in your workplace. There are certainly other methods that you can potentially use. It might be a person who uses bullying or abrasive behaviours and coaching them and educating them to change those behaviours. Policies and procedures is a really basic one that I haven't mentioned, but that actually sets the undertone of what you are trying to achieve in the organisation. So your policies and procedures will not only talk about, you know, what is acceptable behaviour and what is the culture that you're trying to create, what are the values that you work by, but that sets up this framework so you know and you can educate everybody on that, so they know what to expect and they know what you expect, and those are the standards that you need to meet. So there's a range of systems and process-based things or tasks that you can have in a workplace to be able to prevent workplace bullying, but it usually starts with policies, procedures, and then education is key.
Michael, you no doubt deal with many confronting situations, but it also must be really satisfying help create better workplace cultures.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and look, and it's not to say that everyone is always ready to improve or they have the resources to do so as quickly as perhaps they want to. And the key for workplaces is to make the changes that you need to make achievable. Don't try and do everything at once. Make it bite-sized. Make it achievable so that you can get to where you want to go. You set yourself a goal, set yourself a vision, and actually work towards that. To see organisations making steps towards building positive cultures means at the end of the day that that organisation can work successfully. But from my perspective, also means that the employee can go home, they can have a healthy life, they can continue to do all the things that they love to do, whether it's spending time with the family or the pets or whatever, because you can't do that if you're suffering an injury from bullying. And that is a key goal and a key driver for me, is making sure an employee can go home safe every day and do what they want to do, which is live their life.
Michael Plowright really does bring it back to what it's all about, ensuring that people have the healthy life that they deserve. Someone who's been very focused on this is John Darcy. He was involved in the drafting of the Victorian OH&S Act and also WorkSafe's bullying guidance. Today, he works for the Victorian Farmers Federation as part of their Making Our Farms Safer program, and it's free to all farmers.
It includes farm safety visits, which are available to any farmer, a lot of town hall events that we run, a dedicated website, but a big part of the project is actually to influence the safety culture of the industry. And we do that through our events and public speaking, but also through a monthly safety newsletter that we produce. Unfortunately, farming has a poor history, top of the tree almost year after year for farm for fatalities. We're trying to do as much as we can humanly possibly do in the time we've got to have an impact.
We want to pull apart particularly bullying, harassment and discrimination, which you also focus on and try and bring primary producers up to speed with. How big an issue is that for primary producers?
Well, it's an issue for any employer, even in a small business where you might even have just a couple of employees, that they could have interactions with each other that might not be appropriate. Bullying is repeated unreasonable behaviour that creates a risk to health and safety. That's the definition of it. And so a person who is subject to that type of behaviour is at risk of psychological injury, illness, mental health problems, and that can actually have serious consequences for the employer in the context of a workers' compensation claim, but also interaction with WorkSafe in the context of their legal duty to provide a safe workplace and potentially prosecution.
John, there's a lot there to unpack. One of the first things you sort of said there was that's their responsibility as an employer. But I imagine a lot of farmers will go, well, hang on, I'm bringing a contractor on. I'm not an employer. That's the contractor's responsibility. You know, I'm a blocky up along the river and I've brought on a labour hire company to pick all my fruit. Why am I responsible?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned labour hire there because recent amendments to the Victorian Act have actually provided specific legal duties for labour hire employers that they now have exactly the same duties as the employer and vice versa. And so it's actually in the interest of both the host employer and the labour hire company to make sure that they're covering all the responsibilities. And as an example, if a bullying episode occurred, well, both of them are potentially at risk of prosecution from WorkSafe if the bullying issue is not managed properly.
That must be a bit of an eye-opener when you talk to some farmers about that and make that really clear.
It is. And again, because they don't necessarily know or understand what they have to do, bullying is something that employers are almost universally or intellectually aware of, that they know it exists or that it can happen, but that they don't really understand what's expected of themselves. And so we would talk to them about the importance of having policy procedures to talk to that detail, communicating those policy procedures to their employees, but instilling confidence in their employees and labour hire workers and contractors that they do take safety seriously, but that they will take any sort of complaint or issue that's raised with them and treat them seriously and respond in the appropriate manner.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing to pull apart, John, in terms of you say, well, hang on, it's safety. But at the end of the day, you're trying to make sure you've got a great workplace so that somebody doesn't end up feeling lousy to the point of a mental health impact. You're trying to make sure that everyone has a good and healthy work environment. That's what it boils down to, isn't it?
You've summed it up beautifully. The importance of having these things in place and other similar related issues would be sexual harassment and discrimination. They all fit in a similar sort of banner, but best to be dealt with each individually. Bullying, probably the most important. But an employer that has policies and actually engages with their workforce and instills that confidence that they do take safety seriously actually helps themselves to instill a good culture, a safety culture in the business, where the employees hear that, they appreciate that, but they embrace it. And it's all about respect at work, ensuring that everyone's on the same page in terms of what's expected and how we expect people to engage with each other.
John, let's talk through a couple of examples. I mean, people might sort of go, okay, well, bullying in my mind is being verbally abusive to this particular person, but I imagine it might cover quite a wide range. Can you give me a couple of examples that you've dealt with?
I've had employers that have had episodes of bullying where often it's unbeknownst to the boss and things are going on behind their backs or workers are having a falling out, and that then lends itself to one person obviously maybe being in a position of strength, repeating that behaviour, engaging on an ongoing basis, whether it's becoming abusive, and that has a mental health toll on the person that's the recipient of that behaviour. Then manifests itself as a work cover claim. They're off to the doctor, and it's too late then. The first question that WorkSafe would ask of an employer if they were to investigate a matter is, A, do you have a bullying policy? And B, show us the evidence that you've disseminated it. And if an episode occurs, did you follow it?
Have you walked into a situation where you've seen it? And can you describe that for me?
I have. A small business employer, sheep property in Western Victoria, had an episode of bullying, a work cover claim. So I help employers with both OHS and workers' compensation. And they rang me for assistance about their work cover claim because they had return to work obligations. With this worker, he alleged that he had been bullied by the farm manager. Now, with workers' compensation, they need to plan for and prepare to get the worker back to work. And when they went to speak to the other workers said, we're not happy about this guy coming back because he was the bully. Unbeknownst to the boss, yes, there was a toxic workplace environment where he was actually belittling a number of the other staff and was abusive and would actually claim that he was more superior and more senior to them. And unfortunately, a couple of the employees threatened to leave if he came back, and because they were obligated to get him back, they did leave. So a small business with about six employees suddenly lost half its workforce, and that's because the boss let a toxic environment fester. The right approach would have been to, ahead of time, talk to the employees, put out the policy, engage with them. And that's part of the employer's legal duty, to consult with the workers about matters that affect their safety. So bullying is something that they do need to talk to them about.
So, John, in that particular instance, an enormous impact for the farmer because he lost half of his staff. Potentially, what sort of fines would an employer like that be exposed to?
So there is a famous case in Victoria which actually gave rise, and bullying is not just a matter for WorkSafe, it's actually also covered under the Fair Work Act. So a worker can also lodge an application to Fair Work to have matters dealt with within 14 days. And also it's actually a crime under Victoria's Crimes Act, and the law that this refers to is actually referred to as Brodie's Law. And that came on the case on the back of a OHS prosecution from WorkSafe about a decade ago of a young girl who worked in a cafe who unfortunately took her own life after she'd been subject to appalling behaviour by three employees. And the boss pretty much turning a blind eye, look, knock it off, fellas, but not actually properly dealing with it. Now, consequences for an employer is if it's a WorkSafe OHS prosecution, well, potential fines in the order of up to $1.4 million or up to $400K for an individual. But if a worker dies as a consequence of the bullying, well, that then brings into the realm the possibilities of industrial manslaughter. And that actually has a consequence of up to $18.1 million or 25 years jail.
They're fairly heavy penalties, but at the end of the day, someone has suffered terribly. You know, that's what it's all about, avoiding that in the first place.
It is, and I'd like to think that employers and having these things and appreciating the value of the policies, but their employees being their most important asset and telling the employees and making sure the employees understand that they are serious about safety. It's not about putting themselves at risk of fines or prosecution. This is actually about them and making sure that the workplace is safe for them. And again, instilling that culture, this is the way we do things around here.
It does sound like a very healthy step to take in terms of building a positive culture and a positive workplace. Have you got examples in terms of things that employers do to foster that?
Especially with small business, and when we go out and meet with mum and dad small business, a lot of our time spent at the dining table. We talk to them about their legal duty to consult about safety, and in a practical sense we suggest to them at least ensure that you have OHS on the agenda at least once a month, and rotate policies throughout the course of the year. So don't have a system on a shelf where you just have these things in a folder or on a bit of paper. Actually use them. So a good time to maybe put out a bullying policy might be around Are You Okay Day or World Mental Health Month, because then it's topical. But then you might put out your sexual harassment policy in around February, because that's International Women's Month. You might put out your drug and alcohol policy around festive season. So just encouraging employers to use these things and put them out there bit by bit, month by month. But bullying definitely has to be on the agenda.
John, what about harassment and discrimination? Can you give examples of those that you've dealt with in the workplace?
I've had experience with racial vilification, discrimination in business, again in small business too. If they manifest themselves as an injury or illness, well, that'll still fall back into WorkSafe space, because WorkSafe is the health and safety regulator, and that's where they will look at it if it manifests itself as an injury. But these matters are actually covered under the Victoria's Human Rights Equal Opportunity Act. The worker can also go to the Human Rights Equal Opportunity Commission in Victoria, and they can lodge formal complaints. Those matters are dealt with as civil matters, but employers are vicariously liable. And so whilst a worker can get compensation from the perpetrator, they can also seek compensation from the employer if the employer didn't manage it. So again, it comes back to the same thing, make sure the employer's got robust policies and procedures, but also consult.
John, have you had to deal with specific examples of harassment or discrimination on farms?
I have. I've had to deal with recently a sexual harassment matter that did involve a farmer and a staff member, and it had serious risk and consequence for the employer. The worker did have mental health issues associated with that behaviour. Unfortunately, this is often the problem that we're dealing with these things after the event, but then talking the employer through how to manage that, but also how to make sure that they actually put a stake in the ground and fix things for the future. Also, I've dealt with complaints of discrimination. A worker actually in a physical altercation with a co-worker, and then it came out that the reason for that was that the worker was actually subject to a torrent of racial abuse. These matters, if they had have come to the attention of the regulators, well, those employers could have been at serious legal risk.
The policies are one thing. It really has to become part of your language and do as I set the example as well.
A great point. We express to employers, when we give them policy procedures, we give them a range of templates, we say to them, you don't put them on your letterhead and say, there you go, we're covered. We make it clear to them, if you put those things out there, you've got to do what they say. And there have been prosecutions for employers where they have what we refer to as a system on a shelf, where they've got all these things in a software package or an app or a folder they've bought from a consultant, but that's where it lives. Well, there's no value there. You first step, put them out there, consult with the employees, but once you've done that, make sure you follow through.
That's a really good point to wrap things up on. Where should primary producers go to find more information?
All they need to do is look up Making Our Farm Safer on the web, go to the website, and they can register for a free safety consult, and we would come and sit at the dining table with them. WorkSafe have excellent guidance on bullying, and so if anyone wants to read about it or understand it, WorkSafe also run a program called the OHS Essentials Program. That also provides for free independent consultants to come and provide it for up to 3 hours of free advice. There's plenty of avenues for farmers to go and get support.
John Darcy, it certainly sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, but it also sounds like you're getting a fantastic reception from primary producers across Victoria. John Darcy, Senior Farm Safety Advisor with the VFF, thanks for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you, pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.